All right, some troop and some good.
Yeah.
Every motion.
Are you sending? All right. Okay. We are. We thank you for them.
Okay. I'm just sending one.
Six
sir, how are you?
Okay.
That meeting was very good.
Six.
Six.
I'll get the mystery
at 6:06.
We'll talk about that.
6:06 in 6 seconds. Oh, no.
Okay, let's look at the first resolution. Can I get somebody to move it for discussion?
I'll move it.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Okay, establishing a pilot program for alternative fuel and committing to create a green fleet policy.
Okay.
Supported it last time, supporting it again. Yeah.
Okay. I'll get to you. Okay, John, do you have something you want to say about it?
I didn't include the fuel pilot. Well, I think it's a good idea. I think it makes sense. I think it's, if we don't experiment, if we don't check it, if we don't do a study, if we don't do things, we never know. I mentioned the last time, sir, that I'm on a pilot study for medicine that I don't even know what it is. That may help somebody somewhere down the road. So I feel the same way about things like this. We've done our research. It makes sense. I think I know what the answer will be, that it'll be a positive thing. But maybe it won't be.
All right. I mean, this is for liquid propane gas vehicles, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was hesitant in caucus. I'm still hesitant now. If I provided with some information, maybe I could be convinced. But honestly, at least right now, I'm leaning towards postponing this at least until I have all the information on it. And also on top of that, we just heard in the state of the county. That we are talking about some additional alternative fuel vehicles, including electric. So for me personally, I'm not prepared to move on this.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna be upfront on many of these solutions tonight. This is the first meeting that I've chaired. So I gotta get up to speed on some of these things that I'm not gonna play with that. I have some questions. First of all, I have some financial impact questions. Will it be positive? Will it be negative? Have other counties done this?
We had a presentation from the gentleman actually in Calgary. Coxsackie, sorry, it's a little north of County, but in Coxsackie that does the retrofit on these vehicles, and the payback is positive. The payback is strongly positive on the fiscal side. The system can be moved from vehicle to vehicle as long as it's the same class of vehicle. So if it's on like an E350, it can be moved to another E350.
Does that have to be specific though? Like
no, it's got to be
the same level of type, right?
What we're exactly passenger yeah. commercial, but that sort of thing. They've seen these systems last for the life of up to. They've seen them last for up to 5 vehicles. You know, hundreds of thousands of miles. In the same system, and the cost is negligible to move it from vehicle to vehicle. You don't need to buy a new system, you need to buy a new vehicle.
Sure. But what about potential danger? I mean, anytime you start talking about, you know, gas, you know, yes, I realize it's not hydrogen.
It's no more dangerous than gas.
Let me just say this. The guy was there, that question came up when I was with him, with sheriff's deputies, and he said, we've done the test, and shoot bullets into it. This is not like gasoline. At least on the ground. There's no explosions. They do police vehicles in Yonkers. They do them in all over the country. We're only talking about experimenting on heavier vehicles and transport vehicles that don't normally get shot at.
Just for me personally, I've been off this committee for
4 years,
give or take. I understand that you guys got a presentation. Myself and, let's say, Laura did not get a presentation. So,
Chris, that's part of... Have you left with us?
Thank you.
Okay.
Could you make sure that
legislator Lauren and Rubber Years could talk to us?
Chairman Lauren, okay, not to be contrary, but just for the benefit of the new members of the committee, I wanted to make it clear that the coordinator of the environment, and then those that are coordinators who reviewed this proposal, she did not think it had a good benefit to the county. She doesn't think it has any environmental impact. She has concerns about the environmental impact of this proposal as not being good for the county, and that she doesn't support it. We've also heard from Kevin Mowlicky for not supporting it. Other environmentalists have called and waited on it. Senator Rodriguez, you are correct. The county official just announced a week ago that we're right in the process right now converting all 26 buses in the UTAC fleet to biodiesel. So in a very short period of time, every one of those buses will be running biodiesel.
Is that going to cost more than $60,000?
Okay. Can we do that also with the
Sheriff's
Department?
8 years ago.
There's opportunities to look at diesel vehicles across the whole system.
Well, that's what I would like to do. I would like to see what...
And actually, we're looking right now. We've done this... Amanda and her team have pulled an inventory of all of our diesel operating vehicles. The bus system was really easy. They have a very centralized way they dispense the diesel. We were able to find the diesel on state contract and purchase that. We have another tank over at the building grounds. There are issues with biodiesel in that. You've got to be careful that it wouldn't be appropriate to fill a plow truck that's out there on the highways in the middle of winter. We're doing some analysis looking at how we can house vehicles in size versus maybe a block heater and looking at those issues. And then there are other vehicles. And then a lot of the diesel engines have warranties that aren't valid if you've seen a certain percentage of biodiesel.
Yep. So these conversions do not work on diesel. They wouldn't even put them on. There's problems with it. They work on gas vehicles.
The conversion
diesel car might work on it.
Our wooden transport vehicles are gasoline powered. They're not diesel. That's why otherwise on the sheriff's vehicles we would have gone to biodiesel.
As far as put on the record the opposition for the coordinator of the environment's opposition.
Well, I'd like to actually hear from some of these.
I'd like to see that letter too from them. I mean, so recently we're giving away free electricity now with people that buy Teslas, but we don't want to know what it would cost us to operate something like this. Is really interesting.
Well, what I'd like to do, because like I said, I'm into this, and this is good with the committee. I'd like to bring this back next month and have I want those people here, though.
Yeah.
I want to hear from people that tell me I'm against it because of this, this. I don't want to hear somebody say, well, this person's against it, or that person's against it. I want to hear from them, and I want to understand why.
Well, she's got a letter out, didn't she? So
and I'd also like to know
the letter was she was opposed to specifically, I'd like to see the letter.
And I'd like to know what's going on there. And I would also like to see if we can look at retrofitting other vehicles using biodiesel as well. I'd like to see the cost associated. I want to see the cost associated. And I'd like to do it for the next one. See which one's more beneficial than the other.
But then why would they basically say each one push this through no matter what?
Does someone have a motion? Then you ask what's the motion. I'll explain myself.
Fine. I'll make a motion to postpone one calendar month to our next meeting.
Is the second of this, Chair?
I'll second it.
On the postponement? I'd like to talk about it. This isn't something that's new. This has actually been going on to August, I want to say you proposed it with the sheriff. It might have been before that because the sheriff put this in his budget request to the county executive's office, $25,000 for a pilot on, to use LPG on their transport vehicles. and it got postponed, and we talked about the environment, at the last meeting of the environmental committee, we passed it unanimously out of the committee. And then, I want to say it was a week later, at Ways and Means, Lester Bartels, who was the chair of the committee, said, I've reconsidered, I wanted to go back to the environmental committee again.
Mm-hmm.
So after coming out unanimously, I went back to environment. I think that we've talked about it a lot. I think that we'll talk about it. We can give you guys information, whatever information.
Lester Bartels, I wasn't on the committee.
I understand.
I'm not privy to that conversation.
I think that there's enough time in between now and the legislative meeting. All of the information is already out there. We could get it.
I don't want to do that. I want to come back. I want to sit back. I want to talk to the different people. And that's my opinion. So, thank you. That's how I feel.
Fair enough.
I don't want to rush it through. There's nothing in this packet that I can see that is that pressing.
I don't think eight months is rushing it through.
But for the rest of us who weren't in the loop on that conversation. Right.
No. Well, I disagree with the phrase rushing it through. I mean,
okay, well, I don't know what to say about that. But
I understand.
Right. Pushing it through is fine. I think it's wrong. It's my opinion.
Fair enough.
So,
call the question.
Call the question. Those in favor of postponing it 1 month? Okay, those in favor going next month?
Not postponing.
Not postponing.
Yeah. Okay.
Go.
So now what happens?
Now we vote on the resolution.
They vote on the resolution.
I'm in.
All those in favor?
Yeah, all those in favor. No.
Two.
Who's opposed? I don't understand why we had to go that route. But that's what you want.
You know, this thing came to the Ways and Means months ago. That was on the Ways and Means. He had all the information he needed. All of a sudden, the Catskill Mountain people came out of somewhere around here and said, this could be polluting the monarch butterflies in the high peaks. And the Right Honorable Chairman of the Ways and Means said, would you mind putting it back to committee and see if anybody brings forward what the problem
is? All I'm suggesting is that next month we come back with it and these people come and have an opportunity to speak. The committee has decided they didn't want that. We don't have the votes to get it through, so
okay. It failed.
And that to me was foolish, but Number 38, opposing the Pilgrim Pipeline.
Move it.
Second?
Okay. I'll second for discussion.
Okay.
Do you have discussion?
Do you have something you want to say about it?
I don't necessarily at this time agree with it. I talked to Mary. Mary told me that she, as one of the two sponsors, that she'd be fine if we held off on it for a month. She wasn't able to be here tonight to talk about it because her mother is ill and she couldn't find anybody to take care of her.
I understand this is a memorializing resolution. Why would we hold off on memorializing resolution?
Is there something specific, I guess, is my question.
My specific concern is, we were opposed to the oil trains, we're opposed to it going on barges, we're opposed to it going on trucks, and we're opposed to going on pipelines. Exactly how do we expect crude oil to get to its final destination?
Well,
I'm not saying that this is the right way to do it, I'm just saying that there's no correct... Okay, so let's say we've already done a memorializing resolution opposing oil trains. I supported that one. What sort of black magic do we want this stuff to get to the refineries with? So,
I just want to get some more information to give me as so much awareness. Early last summer that the folks from Pilgrim Pipeline approached the council, looking for access for their survey work across county property. Through the county executive, through the planning board, denied that request back in early, let's say it was July, and we had recommended to other towns impacted that that would be a potential strategy as well. People in other towns have also been access to the county property to the district. There were three parcels specifically on their right of way, and we denied them access to this person for their survey purposes.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to recall reading someplace, and I don't know, it may have been wrong, but the Pilton Pipeline was kind of, they were trying to intimidate people to use their property, to have access to their property.
Well, we told them no.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kate Hudson, with River Keeper. And this community we've been working with communities on since it was brought to our attention by the town of we have the documents that they've been giving people, and the documents imply that they have the right to get on their property, and they're just being nice by asking for permission. And there are a number of landowners who signed those documents and then later realize that they did not have a right, they do not have a right to go on people's property without the consent of the people. I have talked to several people who live not in Ulster County, but live in Green County, who said that their interactions with these representatives were bullying and intimidating, basically implying that if they didn't agree voluntarily, they could be made to allow them to get on their property. This is a concern that we have. I've talked to the Attorney General's office about this and asked them if there is someone that people could call if they have those kinds of complaints. Right now, they can really only bring them to the town supervisor or maybe the town building inspector. But if these people get on somebody's property without permission, they're trespassing. They could be arrested.
Right.
But people are being confused.
Well, I read this several months ago where there was some intimidation going on, and I just wanted to find out if that's actually true.
I believe it probably is true, but I'd like to just say that I don't believe we've ever had anybody here on this committee explain what these people's objective are. Somebody, it's like the folks opposed to it, and I understand that. And it may very well be a threat. But it'd be nice to invite someone to say, here's what we think the benefits are, and then say, if they don't show up, that's it.
I have no issue with that. Bring that people to come here and speak. I'm all for that.
Well, here's a chance then.
Okay. 2 minutes ago.
In the past, we've had plenty of people.
Well, we had people come to the committee who talked for and against that. John's point is that we've never had anybody come and speak on the other side of this issue. Not now, not before.
I just want to say that in several cases, the towns have invited people from Pilgrim. They even said they would come, and they didn't show up.
Well, that would be very telling to me, as a legislator.
They've also really been actively intimidating landowners, and that's something, I'm not sure we can do anything about, but the towns need to let people know that they do not need to let them on the property. And the other thing I just want to say in response to what you offered, this is another danger. We have a danger on the river. We have a danger on the railroad. But putting this along the thruway, to me, is really an accident waiting to happen. I think what we need to do is make the existing transportation systems stand much higher scrutiny, much higher safety standards, but not, we don't have this danger. I was at the meeting at the town of Asotis, and they're wedged between the river you know, the bomb trains and this potential, you know, area of crude oil being transported by a pipeline that is only going to allow for more. It's not, you know, it's going to compound the problem. It's not going to relieve any portion of the problem. It's just going to give us a third route of danger to deal with. Let's, in my opinion, let's prevent that problem and then be really proactive about dealing with the other two existing routes through our area. That's how I feel about it.
And again, I want to make clear, I'm not saying that I agree with this or that this is the answer or that this is a good idea. I'm just saying I'm not personally ready to say that it's the wrong idea and that we should actively oppose it. That's my...
Okay.
I witnessed the Silver Revolution in Chicago in 10 pages of notes. Would it be at all helpful to tell you in a nutshell what he said?
I think that and this is nothing against you. I think that we'd rather, if we're going to have something on the record, have the representative come himself, or his or herself.
So I would appreciate if you could send me the
information. I don't mind adding it, but, you know, but I was going to put it in.
It was fascinating because he was not able to articulate any kind of it. And he also made wildly contradictory statements in the pipeline. He said that only 15-20% was the bottom shale oil, which is the highest amount of oil that was damaging climate in North Dakota, etc. And
that the rest of it comes from Canada, which sounds like Arkham. And then the very next, you know,
the company doesn't have about
space.
So they're, in addition to going to
their
assembling
about climate.
And that's fine. But if you could send me that information.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Just explain one of the reasons why towns are struggling and considering this resolution is because, unlike gas pipelines, there is no regulatory agency, federal or state, that's responsible for overseeing the siting of an oil pipeline. So there is no regulatory agency in charge here right now. Nobody. And until the company submits a permit application, DEC, or the Army Corps of Engineers, there is going to be no government oversight of this project. And that's why it's worth looking at us when people are confused and they're...
Well, until they put a shovel in the ground, you're right.
Well, until they...
Until they submit a plan to put a shovel in the ground.
And so there's kind of this void that's been created, and that's why, you know, people are coming to your body and other bodies to sort of say, you know, who's mining the source here? Who's making sure that what's going on is what's supposed to be going on?
But
so,
I call the question, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. I call for a vote. Those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Yeah. All right. Those
opposed? Well, I have something to say on the question. I'm going to vote yes. You get it to the floor. I'd like to see a letter where people have been invited from Mr. Pilgrim or whatever their name is, and they refuse to come. But I can't get over the irony, my friends, of something that's as important as this. You're not concerned about bringing people in from the other side. But something that's basically...
You can still bring them in.
You just voted yes to move it to the floor. But something as probably insignificant as a $25,000 investment that will pay for itself over 2 or 3 years warrants additional hearings and more people in. And I'm voting yes to move it to the floor. I'd like a letter from somebody that sent it to Mr. Pilgrim where they responded, we will not go up or we do not have representatives, whatever the deal is.
I don't believe him invited.
And then, did this committee invite him? You can check the minutes and
I can check.
Well, but you'll be able to move it. Can you please set up a poll? Can you also please
make sure
to
tell you we didn't?
Well, no, say on top of that, but make sure that you set one off.
My diatribe was the irony of not caring about additional information from the pros and the cons in this one. That's critically important.
This is a memorializing resolution. Your resolution is totally different.
Same. It's memorializing. Are you saying that this is insignificant?
No, I'm saying what it is. But what I am saying is, memorializing resolution is very simple, as you know. We were asking the state to do something. Whether or not they do it, it's their decision. It's not ours.
It's not insignificant. It's
I didn't say
really influencing the process.
Okay, so
if we can see the vote, so all of them.
Those in favor? Those opposed?
Okay. Yes, that's okay.
Resolution 42, establishing an environmental remediation reserve account. All right. I believe that, Bert, you're here to talk about
this? Yes. 42 and 43.
First of all, let me flip it. Can I get somebody to move it?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second for discussion. John, do you or Bert, you can't have anything you want to say about it before I allow Bert to say whatever
you want
to say?
I'm going to yield my answer to Chris if and when, you know.
Okay.
A couple of things. I'll first start with, you know, the Resolution 43 kind of sets a procedure as to how to go about and facilitate these environmental properties. I will say in the 15 budget, in the county attorney's budget, as well as mine, we're looking into doing this now. We actually met with an environmental attorney yesterday to go over some of these properties that have been outstanding on our tax foreclosure and to see what we can do with them. I will say we do have some issues where there are some properties that have been out there a long period of time that are a tire dump, a landfill. There's the Ellenville Iron Scrap down in the Ellenville Iron Scrap. The EPA is doing a cleanup now. They send me a letter every year saying, please don't foreclose on this because they're cleaning it up. I don't think the county
should be getting
right. And the tire dump in Sorbonne was cleaned by the state. They have a $2 million lien on that. What the environmental attorney and, like I said, the county attorney, myself, and the Department of Environment have all met on this. We can negotiate, and I actually think this is in Resolution 43, we could try to negotiate with the state that if we can sell this property, maybe they can get some sort of proceeds from that. They're not going to get their $2 million. They know that. Will that kind of absolve that lien that's on the property? That's a legal question beyond me, and that's why the environmental attorney is with us. So this is in the process. I will kind of point out to the committee that some of this cleanup with regards to this reserve costs quite an amount of money. One thing our auction is a money-making thing. We don't want to sell anybody's home. If I make that budget number, I make it. If not, you know, I'm not trying to make that number. It's just the previous auction. So we are in the process already of trying to, as I say, kind of get the low-hanging fruit where we can kind of do a phase two environmental review, which is, you know, if it's a minor thing, would only cost the county $5,000 to $10,000. If it, let's say you find something where the cleanup could be $400,000, is the county willing to do that?
Right, if it's ownership there.
Correct. I mean, that's the liability that would be on the county. And, you know, we're trying to go out and look at those environmental properties where there may not be a major cleanup, which we could get back on the tax roll and sell them, and the county would take title to it. I do have concerns with those properties that, you know, your EPA is involved now. That would cost the county a lot of money to clean up. I'm not making that money on the auction. So, you know, that's my concern. And we're already kind of looking at this in the 15 budget with the county attorney, the Department of Environment, and myself, because we have had some properties out there for a period of time where the county, you know, we haven't taken title, and we're trying to find those properties where we may be able to.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris? I basically agree with what you just said. I would just add that the basic framework, obviously, is to try to get those properties that we, or that, you know, an expert has determined are not going to be too expensive to remediate back on the rolls in order to, you know, generate income for us. Because indicated, there's about, I have 26 properties that are currently not generating any tax revenue, and we're not going to foreclose because of environmental reasons. So this whole program, which has been used in several other counties, is undertaken in order to try to get these properties out of the tax generated money. But I spoke with the county attorney yesterday. She indicated that she wanted to work with us to try to create some language in, amending some of the language we have in the proposed resolutions to make, the executive's office more comfortable and make it a better resolution. And, I'm obviously willing to work with her and anyone else to make it right.
Just one thing to add to that. Sorry, Jim. Chris, he has the list, the same list that I have. Some of those parcels, those people can come in and redeem their taxes up until the Friday before auction. So, in October, we send notices out of foreclosure. It was roughly 1,200 parcels this year. By the time I go to auction, I'm near 200. So they may be environmentally hazardous type properties, but does the county want to invest in them when they're the property owner is going to redeem? That's another issue that, I end up in the timing part of this.
Do you have that? You
want
to say anything?
Well, I've been working with Mr. Gucci, Chris, on this for a while. I mean, there's been environmentally sensitive properties around for a long, long time. And we can always look for a higher authority to give us the money for it. I think we first came across some of these ideas when we were doing the research on taking over the villages and some of their concerns with taxes, and I think this particular thing went back to discussion somewhere in October. So I'm happy that it's created some interest for 215, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter who owns it, but they've been languishing for a long time, and suddenly there's some activity. We think we've got something here that makes sense for the long term. As Chris said, everybody should sit down and talk and figure out where we're going to go. And I think that's probably a good idea. Not to beat a dead horse, but we don't have to do this today, Much like the alternative tax that went back, for alternative to fuel that went back to April or May, this is, this can be researched and negotiated, so I have no problem with that.
I will just add, too, I know once, we kind of get the delinquent taxes on these properties, I'm trying to work with the assessors, too, to lower the assessments, because, as you know, we're making the towns and school districts whole. So, we're trying to at least lower the burden as it goes forward. Unfortunately, what's behind us, there's nothing I can do without assessment. We're continuing, because the other alternative is to take these off the tax roll, but then the town's not getting any money for that either. So, I think...
But if they're unreasonable, sometimes you have to...
But I think that's what one of the counties did in terms of they would take these off the roll. Then you still left with an environmental hazard out there, too.
Okay, so John, you're going to pull 42
and 42?
I think it was 42 and 43.
Just
remember we have to work with them.
You're all in favor of
postponing? Aye. Okay. All right. We don't need any other experts for this one at this point.
Okay, motion.
So that's both of them, correct?
So we're going to now do resolution 44. We're going to members to the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission.
I'm hoping Dave Puffer. Do you have something, any changes, I guess, that you were...
Yes, I talked to Tracy earlier today. Mr. Chairman, in the original resolution, and you can read it here, 11 and 12 are two at-large representatives from the general public. Tracy had mentioned to me that in the haste of getting this in, she had put herself and Mr. Landy as the at-large members. I called her and we chatted about my concern that while Mr. Landy and Tracy are wonderful people and they're very knowledgeable on the issue, I don't know that having two more people involved in county government and the RRA would really qualify as members of the general public.
Mr. Chair, correction. Charlie's only okay.
In the interest of getting things going, Tracy and I came to sort of an agreement that we would leave her on and remove Charlie and then leave that as a to-be-determined at-large member from the general public. And then we would solicit, in our various districts, and we can talk to our colleagues about soliciting our various districts for four members of the general public.
And then we'd have to go and do another resolution, right?
Yes. So we have to do another resolution to appoint a member to the... Yeah.
I mean, so I guess technically to appoint, Mr. Chair, if I may propose that we amend the resolution number 10 to, I guess, TBD.
Yeah.
You know, to delete Charlie Landy and to replace it with TBD.
Well, it says member at large. The one I got in the mail says something different, not member at large. It says member of the community or citizen or something.
Representative,
like that.
Two at-large representatives of the general public.
It's been changed since then.
Well, member at-large would be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Agreed. I mean, it's technically just the same thing. That's why it's been member
I'm going to ask a question. I'm on it as chairman of this. Do I have the ability to play somebody else if I choose to do so? Right?
Not as the resolution is currently constituted. And I talked about this because it says the chair.
Is that a consideration? Because I believe that's not the only private thing.
Well, I'm considering that because of my work and all that.
Actually, I'm wrong. Or environment. Energy and Environment Committee member designee. Now, that's written poorly, I think, because the way that's written, normally if you're appointed to something as chairman, it's chairman or designee.
Yeah.
This is chairman or the designee of the committee.
Yeah.
So the committee would have to elect a designee.
But it also basically should say, and that's why this is really technical, but it actually should say, like John R. Parody, or designee, or Richard A. Guarantee, or designee, It should
be that's not
it should say that. No, I understand that. All right, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right,
the way it's written right now,
to have it be of the committee.
Just to clarify, this was discussed in the committee. It was initially proposed to say just or designee, but then specifically in the committee meetings, they said they wanted to make sure that the designee was representing the committee. So they added those words and they added it for all of them.
Okay, so
it's or designee, but it's definitely something from the committee.
Okay, no. But that's not the way
that would be intent.
No, it's not or your designee from the committee. It is or designee of the committee. The committee has to designate the person.
From the committee.
No.
That's not the way I read it.
I think now it's
the only council in the room.
Because of the way it's worded.
The
chair of the legislative energy and environment committee or energy and environment committee member designate.
Right.
Or the committee's designee. So the committee would then have
to appoint the person. The chair of the UCRA board of directors or UC, so at that point the board of directors at that point has to appoint another
committee.
Okay.
Now if it was the intention to make it legislator Lawrence designee, it would have read chairman of the Energy Environment Committee
or designee
to serve on the Environmental Committee. And then that would be...
Well, you could have phrased it differently. Yes, I know.
But phrasing it differently... I've always wanted to go to law school, but I just can't afford $250,000, so I'm not going to practice.
So we're going to delete. Well, I'm still going back to my original motion, which was to delete Charlie Landy and replace with, or amend it to read TBD.
Yeah.
To be disturbing.
We don't want to change this.
Was there a second on that?
Second.
Okay, there's a, Mr. Chairman, I apologize. There is a motion on the floor.
And it's been
seconded. After what you do on TV.
Okay, all those in favor.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
whether I'm on it.
All right, I would like to change that in the
It's not in the rules. It's in this. It's in the resolution creating the Ulster County Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission.
Okay, so it's not even in our rules.
It's the huge whereas.
Whereas in the beginning,
Question, Kristen. Wasn't this originally, didn't they have the mayor of the city of Kingston on it?
Yes, he is. He, and you'll see it was also appointed to be a 12-member committee.
Yeah.
He was, we repeatedly reached out to him to ask him or to designate someone, and there was no response.
Are you calling his mother's line?
I'm sorry. Well, the only reason I asked that is I did see that.
I don't know that.
But the other half of it is the stakeholders, the town supervisor. You know, the town of Saugerties supervisor is elected by as many people as the mayor of Kingston. They got 18,000, 19,000 people. Kingston got 23. Well, Worcester's got, I don't know, 16 or, I don't exactly know the number.
And their representative
I'm going to vote yes on the wrong thing. But it just seems to me, more of the stakeholders, those folks out there. Supervisor, the town of Ulster supervisor has most of the commerce in the county in his bailiwick.
And you know, Carl Chipman is serving.
He's one person. I'm just saying, I think more stakeholders should have been included on it, that's all.
Could you explain what you said about the mayor of Kingston? I didn't understand.
He is one of the slated 12 members to be added to the...
Oh, but you didn't want to put him in until he confirmed?
Right, he has not communicated to say, we have enough to move forward with the 11 members, you still have a quorum.
Because he could designate somebody.
Right, at a point that other members can. Right,
to 12? The 13 or 14?
Well, no, he's in the resolution creating the committee. He's not been appointed because he hasn't acknowledged that he will serve or appoint a designated.
So
We did a vote on amending it to do the amendment there.
Yeah.
And we're now on the resolution.
On the resolution. Legislator Lauren, if you're concerned that you might not have the time to commit to it, then, I mean, you know, Legislator Rodriguez, would you?
Sure.
I make a motion that the committee designate Legislator Rodriguez as designated to serve on the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, if that's okay with you.
This one? I'm sorry, could you?
What?
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
I guess out of his breath.
Just to clarify, you serve as a temporary chair for that meeting.
Hey, congratulations.
Oh, Lord.
First thing's never going to end.
You never ran my old meeting. 2 hours max. That was it.
I wanted to make that a rule change, but Trish, you shot me down.
That's the way you do it. No, it's called the chair of Valley, though.
Way to go, Andrew.
You gotta get on the committee.
No, I understand.
Charlie, What ward are you in?
All right.
I'm doing 45.
What's the line out for the Catskill Park and Catskill Forest Preserve?
Catskill Mountain Keeper is in favor of it. They came to the Economic Development Committee last night and spoke out in favor of it, and I will absolutely 100%.
Catskill Mountain Keeper's for it?
Yep.
Even with the windmills that you're proposing?
Yes. Kathy Nolan came as their representative and said it's a great project, that it's a great resolution, we need it, go for it.
Yes, people need to actually embrace the mills, I'm sorry.
We'll just keep something from the
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
We didn't have enough from the last
meeting. Because I have a couple little typos, not anything serious.
Just before, and then, yep, okay. For the next meeting.
Well, actually, right now, just, we can't even vote on the minutes of December 8th.
Yeah. We don't have enough.
Yeah. Have to be here. And Mary was here, so, yeah.
I don't believe I was here, right? Was I here?
I wasn't. Oh, yeah.
Is it last time?
Sure.
You don't have enough signatures from the
members. Well, from the members, yes. Not members of that committee.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually come every month and just with the committee of any updates that they made or things that are going on. I'm going to have 5 years to have updates of the activities. Probably the only thing that... The only thing that's really of any substance, I think, since December's meeting, there's a letter due to go out today that actually the chairman you were copied on and Chairman Parody was copied on as well, so we'll probably get this tomorrow. Just wanted to give you a heads up. The last year we had an insurance audit done, and part of that insurance audit was thought it was a condition of a mosque. As a result of that, we had to hire a third-party safety consulting firm. And what came out of that, the insurance company said that the golf boxes are not designed to be used heavy equipment on them. So what happens in some of these towns, by the way, we have 19 towns that we service. What happens is that a lot of the towns have small excavators or backhoes. They bang down on the boxes and try to get as much equipment as possible. They bulge out the sides, they break hinges. The insurance company said that there's no way my hinges breaking open on the road and killing a mother or two kids or something. And that was a pretty severe safety issue. Safety consultant said the same thing, I've got to stop. So we've written letters to the towns about this. I made personal phone calls, I've been to a supervisor meeting. And recently I sent our compliance officer around looking at these towns, and about half the towns are still doing it, which is a major issue. Somebody's going to get hurt.
What is your remedy then? How do you prevent that from happening?
We discussed it at the board meeting.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question real quick?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Can you offline tell individual legislators which towns they are so we can go and have a conversation with these folks?
Yes, we can call.
All right.
And the reason for us knowing this, first of all, a lot of them admit it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still doing it. And it's all to save $43.
Yeah.
It's a $43 pull charge, so instead of having 3.5 to 4.5 tons like you should normally have in a box,
yeah,
you're getting 8-9 tons. This is 10
tons.
And they're breaking stages, they're damaging our equipment, and
causing us to have to buy more of these boxes.
But you can't want to keep in charge because of the damage.
Well, what the board decided to do, when I brought this up, and I said, before somebody gets really hurt, and that's what I fear is that the hinges do snap it up on the way on the road and come out, the back of the door flies off or something and somebody gets killed, and the insurance company's already said they're not covering us.
Yeah.
Yep. If they go back and do an investigation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I repeatedly tried to tell these guys to knock it off. For whatever reason, they happened to them are still doing it. So I brought this to the board's attention, and the board said it's going to stop now. And they gave me a direction to write a letter to the town saying that if a box comes in overweight, and also, too, the other thing is, too, is the safety of our own employees. When he unlatches that door and there's such that much pressure on the door flies right open,
yep,
he has to jump out of the way. He's going to get one of my employees in here. So when we discussed it at the board meeting the other night, the board unanimously directed me to write a letter to every town that we serve, not just picking the ones that we know that are doing it.
That's the letter that you got.
You get it probably tomorrow because it went out in the mail. So, and you were copied on it, and you were copied as well. But the letter basically says, that's it, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Do it again, and the board gave me a directive to immediately pull the equipment out of any town that's doing it. Immediately. So,
So contractually, my question is, you know, number one, are they're prohibited from doing that contractually, correct?
The contract expired.
There's no contract.
So there's
no contract. Still working with that one.
I mean, yeah. They just rolled over from
the whole year,
right? Yeah.
They don't go out and get their own.
Well, and because there's no contract,
an issue.
It goes both ways. They can go and get a third party tomorrow and call me up the phone and say we're not doing it anymore. But it can go the other way too.
Sure.
Because there's no contract, the RA can drop out at any minute.
Yeah.
So, and just to let you know, in October's letter, I was sending a letter out to those guys in October, letting them know the new fees, and warning them again that if you're using heavy equipment on these boxes, that we will pull out of these, and it's still going out. And again, I brought it to the board the other night, the board said, okay, that's it. I sent a letter out to the morning that you immediately pull out before somebody gets hurt. So that's the letter you're going to get tomorrow.
Okay. So,
yeah, a couple of things. One is, what really should happen is the towns want to, reduce their closes to do it, like we started, you did, which is put in a compactor, but not to use heavy equipment on the boxes. But there's the other side to that coin, and it's really important because I go to a lot of the meetings. I go to the supervisors' meetings to hear their concerns about the RRA, and I go to the RRA meetings to try to be sure that people get on the same page, because I think that this is a really critical service for the county and for the towns and the city. So the other side of that coin is that the agency has not kept up with, and I'm talking now about the boxes where they tend not to use the heavy equipment. Where they use the heavy equipment is on the garbage boxes, the C&D and the trash. But on the recycling boxes, they are in terrible condition. And I understand that you don't want to do a major investment until you get contracts. And I think that one of the things we need to do is figure out what's going to work for a five-year contract. So you have a five-year contract. That's all the towns are going to be willing to sign is a five-year contract until there's a 20-year plan that everybody buys into. But you've got to start buying new boxes to replace the ones where you've got glass leaking on the road and other really serious problems have to start being addressed. They've been neglected for too long, even when the contracts were still in existence. The equipment was not, it was being repaired, but it wasn't being replaced on a reasonable schedule, so that you wouldn't end up in a situation where you have so many boxes that really shouldn't be on the road. I need to say that there are two sides to that coin.
I went to the town where to buy boxes 3 years ago for a five-year contract. There's only one town of all, who's the only one said, I will sign a contract so you can get boxes. He said, I was here with all the money you gave us for the drop-off centers, all the money you gave us for the landfills, that's $500,000, by the way, each one, $40,000 for each one. Burr Whitefield sent me flat out, he goes, I'll sign a contract with you in a second. The rest of the town said no. And some of the towns said, we want nothing to do with you. And they went off their own and bid. They had to bid on their own. Found out that the private contractor was charging 200 times what we were charging. No, I can very well. And I tried it. Yeah, I tried to work with them. They didn't want to work. It wasn't reciprocal. It wasn't reciprocal. I can't go to the board and say I'm going to spend $250,000 on boxes when all they would do is sign a 1-year contract. I can't. I can't do that because they might be gone at the end of the year. Okay. It's the spiral.
If you care about safety, you have to go to the board because you care about safety on the boxes where they're using heavy equipment instead of using compactors, which is the right way to reduce the pull.
They're our equipment. They shouldn't be using heavy equipment.
I want to say something. Now that you went to them 3 years ago, 3 years has elapsed. You might want to go back. And now that they've had an opportunity to see what they wanted to do, they can't do it, or whatever it is, they may have very well changed their mind, and it might be an opportunity now for you to do what you wanted.
Oh, this is ongoing.
There's too many legislators over the years that have had their nose on there in their pie. And when they come in with a budget, maybe to buy some equipment, they would want to reduce. And they would take it out of their reserves or take it out of somewhere and just compound the problem. Now, in Olive, I understand now, and they're a step ahead of most of the other. I understand now that they've significantly expanded their alternatives to incarceration, like what there, I see 10 or 15 kids jumping up and down to combat that, rather than the
I haven't seen that one.
That can't
be safe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm temporary. I'm the vice chairman. I'll just recognize myself. I have to stand by Tim on not buying new equipment when you don't know. I can't imagine how as an organization they could go out and buy a bunch of equipment that might be sitting in the yard next year with absolutely no use. And if he brought that to the board, I would expect our representatives on the board to say that's not a fiscally prudent thing to do.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
You have to see the boxes, Kent. They're atrocious.
I'm not saying that they're not in bad shape, but my point is that if the towns aren't going to step up to the plate and make a damn decision, then the RRA board is not doing that either.
Thank you, Mr. So, there has to be an avenue on this. You know what I mean? Even if it's like some small scale replacement, and this is going to sound, forgive my ignorance, you know, because this is stuff I have on the bailiwick, but
I probably used it twice in one meeting.
That was incredible because you both used the word bailiwick in one meeting.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to what Legislator Green was talking about, there's an attitude problem here, and Tim brought this to the board, and the attitude problem is that they don't see the safety issue, and they don't see the insurance issue, so they're going to continue doing what they're doing. And so we blew the whistle. No, you're not going to continue doing it until you can comply with what we're asking you to comply with. We can't put our employees at risk. We can't operate without insurance.
Right.
And that's the road we're going down. So unless they take this letter serious, this is where we are. There's an attitude problem with some of the town supervisors that, you know, they're going to do it the way they're going to do it and let the chips fall where they may.
And that's what we've got. And something about what Manager said, too. And I want you to know, a lot of that damage has been done to the boxes. You realize it's so bad because the towns keep beating the heck out of them. And that I have a problem. I don't send my employees to smash windows out of DPW trucks. It's agency property. I've got boxes with slices cut the side because they take a loader to the side of the thing and push it sideways. The wheels don't roll that way.
Right.
I tell them to knock it off. I've had it with these people.
Yeah,
they won't. For some reason, they're breaking the boxes.
And this is really a great issue because
on top of all this, these folks, because of money, are running around in vehicles that if there wasn't a quasi-county organization, they wouldn't allow them on the road.
Yeah.
The trucks with
300 or 400,000 miles on them, and it's just, but you know, all of these things were not addressed when they went to flow control, where we have some of the highest rates in the state of New York, and they still don't have any money to go out and buy or lease or rent like they should have been able to. And the communities don't care.
Why?
I mean, they could solve it easy. Just go out and raise your rates to $115 or $120 a ton, or $130 a ton. That would be easy. But, you know, they did a flow control, and the amount of trash went from 150,000 tons to 120. About 120,000 plus 30,000 tons. That's money to replacements, upgrades, et cetera, et cetera. But I think they're handling it well. Do it again, folks, and we're not going to be back up here to
let's see what kind of response we get to this letter.
Right.
Well, you'll see what you get.
Yeah.
And they ignore it.
And
if they ignore it, you're the first time you do that, then we'll have it again.
And then you know they'll be calling you, and you're going to be up here. Come on, give them one more.
Yeah, but now the argument is safety and insurance, John. That's the argument. We can't operate like that.
So that's a failed proof reason.
I asked for you, but I was corrected by the board.
Yeah,
go ahead. Right, the vote was denied. It wasn't a defending vote today.
All right.
Well, we can't play this part.
Yeah, full business.
I'm done with you, Mr.
Landy. Well, I hear about the climate crisis. A great deal, Mr. Chairman. That Mr. Bob
Hey, you and I are back a long way.
No, I go through
to bring folks up to speed a little bit. One of the main things that the Climate Park Committee is working on is to try to understand, we had a Siemens energy audit, and to try to get an actual plan for implementation. What I think the county has done, just hold on a second, what seems to me is that they're budgeting for making these retrofits, and they're doing them as they have to work on a building, and that's
right.
They have some money to do that. I can see doing that for a portion, that you have a contingency, but we would also like to see a proactive plan for using the money that is budgeted for the Siemens Energy Audit, out of the recommendations of the Siemens Energy Audit. And, you know, we've been talking about that also in Public Works. Lighting. There are a lot of towns in the county that want to do something to switch over their lighting. And one of the things we can do is we have our focuses on the county, but we also have people coming from the other climate smart committees, the climate smart task force is what they're usually called. And they're bringing up this issue. So one of the things we're going to try to do is bring everyone together, and it's especially timely right now because we have a Central Hudson rate case going on, and Central Hudson was very cooperative with changing out to LED bulbs and reducing their energy, and now they're starting to back off on some of the things that they had promised.
Central Hudson forced that.
So if we have a conversation focused on lighting, people can learn from each other, and then we go to Central Hudson with a much stronger posture instead of each town sort of begging. And then the last thing, and where I'm going right now, is we had Paul Stan, who was the creator of Community Choice Aggregation, in an informal meeting because we had the snow, we didn't know whether people were coming to the Climate Smart meeting, and Paul was in town. And about half the committee was able to show up, and then we had meetings with the state and the county exec and the supervisors. And tonight is a hearing in, I think, the City Hall on reforming the energy vision for New York State. And one
one of the aspects of that is that New York State is increasingly convinced that community choice aggregation will help us get from where we are now to more distributed energy produced by renewables and the need reduced by energy efficiency. So it's an actual roadmap of how to get from here to there, and I'm sure there will be lots of other presentations about that, but I think the fact that New York State is in the process of trying to reform the energy vision is very, very significant. And this is an important time to get comments in to be sure that municipalities have more say over their energy future. In the past, you know, we've kind of relied on the industry. And the industry hasn't gotten us where we want to go. We still have a lot of price volatility, and we have very, very little say. There's no one in the Central Hudson rate case that is representing the county or its constituents, or Dutchess County and its constituents. And yet we have problems like Central Hudson not wanting to be as helpful as they could be with lighting retrofits and lots of other things. So that's my update. Right? You have anything to add? Okay.
We're fine. Anything else? I'll get a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Good to go.
I still don't have an answer.